Paul Newbury, 15404.
Hold on one moment, but who's going to do Mr. Beebe?
I believe I have Mr. Beebe, too.
The Honorable Mr. Kalani's will conduct your hearing at this time, so he will be the lead.
Sir, did you say that your last name is pronounced Beebe?
Yes.
I just want to make sure they pronounce it correctly. Can you state your full name and ABC number for the record?
Paul William Beebe, 15404.
Thank you, sir, and good morning.
Good morning.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the three alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on May 24th, 2018. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you can hire, at your expense, a lawyer to represent you. Seeing no attorney with you, are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm representing myself.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. If you can see on the teleconference screen, I'll begin with me because I'm the individual sitting closest to you. My name is Larry Quinones, and I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. Next to me is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. At the center of the bench is our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. After him is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, and at the opposite side of the bench is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. Also present in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Respy, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So Mr. Beebe and Mr. Respy, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God and so you affirm?
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Beebe, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take further testimony from the Department of Corrections and we can talk about it. But keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. You understand what I just explained to you?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in the criminal ways of company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number seven, is demonstrated by use of methamphetamine on or about October 9, 2017. For the test, UCMS lab report dated November 15, 2017. Mr. Beebe, is this true or false?
True.
Thank you, sir. Allegation number two, violation of condition number seven, is demonstrated by a failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about October 31st, 2017 for the task individual testing compliance summary dated November 15, 2017. Mr. Beebe, is this true or false?
Yes, sir. I was in the hospital.
Is that true, sir?
Yes.
Thank you. I just want to make sure that that I marked this correctly. And allegation number three, violation condition number two, is demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report him for a face-to-face contact visit on or about November 14, 2017, per written directive on November 13, 2017. You were actively avoiding supervision. Mr. Beebe, is this true or false?
That is false.
Okay. Based on Mr. Beebe's indication that allegation number three is false, we're going to take further testimony from our community corrections officer, and then we'll come back to you, Mr. Beebe, for a few questions, okay, sir?
Okay.
Keep in mind, we're still in the first phase of the hearing. Mr. Respy.
On November 13, 2017, Theo Rose attempted to make personal contact with the offender in his residence located at 802 South 96th Street in Mesa, Arizona 85208. Upon arrival, Peel Rose attempted contact with the offender. However, no contact was made. Peel Rose left a notice of non-compliance on the door. Containing the letter was a directive for the offender to report in person to the Mesa Regional Parole Office, 460 North Mesa Drive, Suite 211, Mesa, Arizona 85201, on November 14, 2017, by 3 p.m. The vendor failed to report on November 14th, 2017, as directed in writing on November 13th, 2017. The vendor is actively avoiding supervision. Follow-up, on November 16th, 2017, Peter Smith attempted a telephonic contact with the vendor's emergency contact, which is his father. Peter Smith received no answer and no automated voicemail to leave a message. On November 16th, 2017, P.O. Smith called the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office and confirmed that the vendor is now incarcerated in the jail system. On November 16th, 2017, P.O. Smith contacted Banner Desert Medical Center, spoke to hospital employees, stating the vendor was not a patient. P.O. Smith knows no other persons, family, and friends to contact and attempt to locate the vendor. Also attached to the warrant is a notice of the non-compliance letter that was left at his residence, directing him to report into the office on November 14th, 2017.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Back to you, Mr. Beebe. What is false about that allegation?
The first allegation, not reported in. I did go in. I did meet with an officer. He was out in the main lobby. I waited 3 hours with my friend, Ed Coates, and I was interviewed and told to report back later on because my PO was in a training exercise or something like that. My dad, on the second part of that follow-up, is my dad died October 17th, and that emergency contact number, of course, his phone was no good by then.
Okay, sir, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to pass through phase one to phase two, and that is based on Mr. Beebe's admission on allegation one and two, as well as information provided to us in allegation number three, and warrant number 2017W3936, as well as information from the Department of Corrections. I move to find him delinquent as he violated in terms of conditions of his supervision that he may have or have lapsed in a criminal wage or company.
Second.
Okay. Seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, Mr. Beebe, we're going to continue with the second phase of your hearing, and it is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Westby, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information regarding your case. If you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions and you'll be able to speak to the board in detail. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Beebe. Mr. Westby.
May 22nd, 2017, Mr. Beebe was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested May 3rd, 2018 by the Fugitive Apprehension Unit. There were no new charges. He was back in DOC custody May 3rd, 2018 with an adjusted community supervision end date of October 6, 2018, which reflects 170 abscond days. Current conviction, 2015, dangerous drug violation, 3 years. Prior conviction, 2000, dangerous drug violation, 3.5 years. 2005 theft, 1.5 years. 2005 drug paraphernalia, 1 year. 2008 burglary, third degree, 2.5 years. This is his fourth term in DOC. CUIR score 2-1, mental health score 1, substance abuse score 3. There's no gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, 2002 TIS release, arrested on tech violation, revoked by the BOEC. 2005 TIS release absconder, 85 days, revoked by the BOEC. 2010 TIS release, arrested on tech violation, revoked by the BOEC. His disciplinary violations are minimal with drugs noted. Other arrests, 1985 disorderly conduct, Arizona, disposition unknown. 1996 intimidation, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. And all other arrests after that were dismissed. He has a community risk score of a G1B2.
Thank you, Mr. Westby. Back to you, Mr. Beebe. I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections with the approved placement at Carla Vista Halfway House, 1927 East Carla Vista Drive, Chandler, Arizona. On June 6, 2017, you were moved by Carla Vista Halfway House to another location at 7 South Sorrel Drive, Gilbert, Arizona. On September 4, 2017, you moved from that residence without approval. On October 10, 2017, you reported and requested to reside at 802 South 96th Street, Mesa, Arizona. No other residence was reported. So I will ask you, did you live anyplace else when you were outside of the prison?
No, sir. Those are the two addresses I lived at.
And your last address was 802 South 96th Street in Mesa?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Employment notes, you referred to Maricopa Skills Center. We didn't have proof of verifiable employment, but were you working?
No, I have medical issues that would not allow me to work. I have H. pylori virus in my stomach and peptic ulcers throughout my small intestines and in my stomach. I have a gastrologist. I have lab work at LabCorp. My stomach, and I can't work right now.
I will ask you, have you received any treatment for that? That's one of those, I mean, it's not fortunate, but I understand that you can take strong antibiotics for that. Were you put on an antibiotic therapy or anything? Or?
Yes, sir. My gastrologist put me on a strong antibiotic, and I had an allergic reaction. I was definitely ill for a week. They were just in the process of getting me on a new medication. That's what LabCorp was doing, was getting the lab work for a stool sample, urine, and blood work, which is still there at LabCorp for me to pick up. And they were going to take a different course of action because of the reaction I had to the medication.
Thank you, sir. Programming notes. It looks like that you were referred to task for running your analysis with the assigned color code of olive. You have three negatives, and then in September of 2017, failed a UA. In October 9th, 2017, a positive for methamphetamine. October 31st, another failure to UA. You referred to SAGE as part of the SB 1291 transition program. You completed SAGE in August of 2017, which we commend you for. Was that program useful, sir?
Yes, sir, it was. In fact, the second PO that I went to go see after that WA, I told him that I was going to go to aftercare. And I talked to the aftercare people, and they told me the price was $50 a month for each visit that I was there. And I told them that I'd be going in and re-registering with them to do the aftercare. Yes, it is very helpful, and I commend it for the system, because the first time used in 1291, all they did was give you an 8-hour class in prison, and you're out. The SAGE program is a very good program, and I will be going to aftercare.
Thank you, sir. And I am glad to hear that that was a useful program. We have sanctions notes that you actually told the parole office that you had not been reporting due to an allergic reaction to the medication Pylera and were in bed for several days. You were staffed for positive for methamphetamine at task I believe October 9, 2017. You admitted to smoking methamphetamine. On October 8, 2017, you denied drinking alcohol. And you referred to SAGE for aftercare program. Intervention was not completed, and it would seem that at issue is that you were missing from community supervision for 170 days. So what was going on during that time, sir?
The symptoms I have, it tore me up. I was in bed for months, sick. Just going back and forth to doctor's offices. I still have this virus right now, and what they're giving me here is Zantac. That's all they're giving me here, Zantac. My medical records are being sent over, and also the hospital that he called, when I went to go see the PO, my PO, and he wasn't there, and I saw another PO, I told her that it was Mountain Vista Medical Center that I was at. And she didn't write it down, apparently, because he called Banner Beaverwood. So he called the wrong hospital. I'm not saying he's wrong or whatever, I'm just saying I did tell that second PO that I was at Mountain Vista Hospital. And I have a gastrologist, I have a doctor, I'm on access right now. And I have lab work waiting at LabCorp right now for me to see what kind of course of action they're going to take on my stomach. Because this virus I have is cancer prevalent. And that's all I can say is what they told me. I have never heard of this before until I got this sickness.
I appreciate your insight, sir. I'll ask you again, I understand that you've been very ill. You spent some time in the hospital. But for 170 days, why weren't you able to make some sort of contact with the parole officer, even if it was by phone from the hospital?
I know. I will admit, I did mess up once I got that part. I can't say nothing more than that. It's just that, like I said, with all the hospital going on, all the doctors and all that, I guess I hit the bottom of the barrel, being that sick.
My other question is, you admitted openly, not to turn it on you, I guess it's more of an interest based on your illness, but that you did smoke methamphetamine. Were you self-medicating, or like did it have some sort of...
It did happen like this. I'll be straight up with you. They shot me up with so much morphine in the hospital for the pain in my stomach. And then when I get out and I see the gastrologist, she gives me medication that almost killed me. And somebody came by. I took 3 hits off a pipe. You can check my levels on the... That's all I did was 3 hits to lift me up out of this dead zone that I was in. I know I shouldn't have. And that's what happened. And that's why my levels are so low on the urinalysis test.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
I'll ask you again. You were arrested for actively avoiding supervision. Who arrested you? Like, when you were brought back into custody, how did that happen?
They were looking for somebody else in the neighborhood, and I passed in front of them. They went to ask me who it was, who this person they were looking for, if I knew them. And I told them that I had a warrant for absconding, so they arrested me. I just told them. There was U.S. Marshals. They were looking for somebody else.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for me. No more questions from fellow board members. Mr. Beebe, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion?
Well, I know I messed up. I do have this illness. I do have pain every day. I would like to be put back on parole and go back and get my doctors and get this thing taken care of inside me. I will go back to care through SAGE, and I will not be going back to the neighborhood that I was in. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Beebe. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes. So if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is an unfortunate case. I do feel for Mr. Beebe's health conditions, and I hope that he will, regardless of how we vote today, get some service inside the Department of Corrections or outside. I recognize how uncomfortable these conditions can be, and it sounds like that he had quite a struggle. Again, I will say an issue is that he was missing from community supervision for 170 days plus he, he just flat out has a pretty bad history with adhering to community supervision. I think we had a tech violation in 2002. He absconded in 2000, if I wrote this down correctly, five, another tech violation in 2010. I certainly want to see him get health care, but I'm not comfortable returning him to community supervision with 170 abscond days, not to mention at least a little bit of a relapse into methamphetamine use. Again, I do feel for his health condition, but I don't feel very good about returning him to community supervision, and that's where I'll open the discussion. Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2017W3936, our discussion with Mr. Beebe, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Beebe was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision and have lapsed, was about to lapse in a criminal leisure company, inasmuch that he was missing from community supervision for 170 days at a relapse into the use of methamphetamine, and that is my motion. Seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Beebe, your supervision has been revoked, and you will be released, at least according to DOC information, on October 6, 2018. We certainly feel for your health condition, and we hope to see you get treatment while you're inside the Department of Corrections. Please take advantage of these last weeks to put together a plan for your safe return to the community. You talked about returning to the aftercare program, and we do want to see you succeed in the community, so we wish you a safe and productive return. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place, and Mr. Beebe, if you could, please give the phone to your CO3. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you all for your time.
Thank you, sir.